Well, here we are, the third Sunday of Advent. Christmas is just right around the corner. I'm sure for a number of people, this is just an opportunity to panic that they haven't taken care of the material requirements that they feel they have, various people. I always feel sad about that. I have memories of that feeling, and I'm glad that I've, for the most part anyway, put it behind me, I hope. But Christmas is so much more than just giving things and receiving things. It's an opportunity to be together in ways that just don't happen in the rest of the year. For that, I think it's worth it all by itself. I find it interesting that the more you hang around with people who may or may not have any particular faith, at least not expressed, that they look at Christmas as more an opportunity to engage in the joys and delights of being with people than just getting things. I think Christmas was, I sometimes think that the world tried to subvert and take over Christmas. God just said, okay, that's the way you want it, fine, and just subverted their subversion and sort of brought it full circle, where now people take the time to get together and pay attention to what really matters, which is being with human beings, rather than just exchanging stuff, frequently things that we don't think of from one year to the next. And this is the Sunday of joy. And joy is one of those, it's another one of those ideas that's a little bit tricky. If you look at it just on its most superficial level, joy and happiness are considered more or less equivalent, and then you move on, you're okay. But if you look a little bit closer at joy and what most people mean by it, to say nothing of what the Bible means about it, you realize that it's more complicated than that. Happiness and joy really aren't equivalent. They're similar, and they often look the same, but they're fundamentally different. And I've been struggling with this off and on, honestly, for the last 25 years, from the first time I encountered C.S. Lewis' spiritual autobiography called Surprised by Joy, where he talks about joy in a particular way, and it started me thinking about it then and always has, that happiness is our response to things that are happening to us. At least that's sort of my best definition of it. We're happy because somebody gave us something. We're happy because we were expecting the weather to be awful and we woke up and it was nice. And it makes us happy. It's our response to external things. And there's nothing wrong with happiness. Happiness is wonderful. I've often said that the day I got married was the happiest day of my life. And it was. I mean, I've had all kinds of delightful experiences since, but it was one of those days where everything worked just the way we wanted it to. You know, the closest thing to a blight on it, if you want to even call it that, was the reception started a little bit later than we thought because somebody forgot something and had to go get it. But everything else, you know, like the people we wanted to be there were there, and the day worked the way we were hoping it would, and it was just, well, just happy. But joy is different than that. If nothing else, because joy is independent of our current circumstance. And that's what makes it different. Joy is that inner response to the realities of life that doesn't require good things to be happening to us at that very moment. People can be joyful in the face of anything. For some people it's easier than others, but joy comes not so much because of what we are currently experiencing, but because of the sure knowledge that we have about the reality of God. And I'm not saying that people who don't have a relationship with God through Jesus don't have joy. Don't get me wrong there. That's certainly at least a shadow of what we see coming out of Scripture. But what we see in joy is that it's more than what's happening now. And joy is a very future-oriented orientation to the world based on the reality of the current and the past. It's more full-fledged. Happiness is just here. You were thinking that you're going to go out to a restaurant and you hope they had the right kind of, or the particular dish you were looking for, and not only did they have it, but it was better than usual. There, you're happy. And you should be happy. You should rejoice in that. That's wonderful when that happens. But joy is something deeper than that, and it's built on something more than anything that can pass. Joy is built on the reality of our relationship with God. It's built on the reality of the foundational history of God at work in the world that we see in Scripture, we see in church history, we see in the rest of history, we see in our own personal history. As I've mentioned before, when I was younger, I had all kinds of problems with sort of the touchstones of my particular brand of the evangelical world, because I couldn't, among other things, tell them exactly when I became a Christian. I couldn't point to that moment. And so some people actually kind of worried about that for me, and they thought, well, maybe I didn't really have one, but, well, I did. So, you know, I appreciate their worry, but... And then it turned out that I didn't have a life verse, which nobody told me was a requirement, and so it took me a long time. So I'd pop out things just to make people go away and leave me alone, to be quite honest with you, until I realized I did have a life verse, and it's Hebrews 12:2. And that's where the writer of Hebrews says, "For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross." That's the middle part of that. And it's because it zeroes in on joy. For the joy set before him, for something larger than what Jesus could see, he was encouraged, supported, was able to go through a truly horrifying experience. And joy does the same for us. Now, thankfully, very few of us have horrifying experiences to go through. But we do have experiences that we'd never choose. All the way from the loss of loved ones, at sort of the high end, to the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship, worries that we might have, all of these things we'd never choose, that it's virtually impossible to be happy in the face of, we can still be joyful. And one of the things that we sometimes almost feel guilty about is that inner sense of joy that God gives us in the middle of some of these experiences. And we think, well, how can I be feeling this? Well, you can be feeling that because joy is an opportunity for us to be reminded again that God is in control. That when Paul wrote in Romans that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, he wasn't just coming up with a pithy bumper sticker. He was talking about a fundamental reality about the way the world works. That all things work together for good. It doesn't mean they work together for convenience. You'll notice it doesn't say convenience. It doesn't say comfort. It doesn't say that they will immediately work together for good. It says that they will all work together for good. Joy is our grappling with that and understanding that. If nothing else, you will talk to all kinds of women, not all by any means, but many women will talk about the joy of having babies. Well, I've been there when Heather's had babies. Three of them, in fact. You know, sort of two at a time, so that's a little bit weird. And then one, so like I've sort of seen both. You're not going to describe that as happy. Certainly not comfortable, not convenient. But joyful? Well, yes. Joy because the pain and discomfort that I will never understand, but, you know, many women that I've talked to and read at face value, I assume they're not deluded. They talk about how the joy so much surpasses the pain that the pain in their memory is essentially gone. When they think about it, it's there. It's not like they've got some kind of amnesia about it. It's just that when they think of that event, what they think of is the baby at the end. And they'll talk about the joy of holding their baby. Well, if joy was simply dependent on current circumstance, it would never be applied to childbirth. It would never be applied to any of the disagreeable, unpleasant, hurtful, grievous experiences of our lives that we look back on and say, that's when I learned something about myself, about God, about whatever it might be that changed me forever and has made me a better person. Joy is about understanding that there's an essential meaning to what we're going through that gives us a foundation to look into the future with hope. Advent brings together all kinds of really profound themes that you can look at superficially if you like. Like when we talked about the difference between peaceful and peace, they seem the same till you actually look at them and realize, no, they're dramatically different. Joy and happiness, dramatically different. Hope and a prediction for a tolerable future, dramatically different. Joy is that thing that pops up all through Scripture that's based on a dependence on God who says, I will make this make sense. When Jean was reading this morning in Isaiah, and when you look at the, verse 4, there's a reference, or at least a similar terminology in this version, where the prophet writing says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Well, the first time we encounter this, if you read the Bible from beginning to end, one of the places you see this earliest and most repeated is in Joshua, where the people of Israel are about to go in and take over a land with giants and lots of things to worry about. Be strong, do not fear. It's not just hope. It's also that underlying confidence that God will make this make sense. Because when we see through Scripture, we never see God saying, don't have emotions. God never says, don't feel what you're feeling. When God says, be strong, do not fear, he's not saying that you should try and take that part of your emotional life and throw it out. He's saying that don't fear to the point where you forget what's actually going to happen. He's saying that your fear, while it's real, while it's based on something that you haven't made up, I mean, the people of Israel were concerned going into the land of Canaan, and they should have been. But there was something larger going on. In our Matthew reading, when John is wondering, John's been thrown in prison, and he's wondering if he was right about Jesus. So he sends his disciples to go and ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Saying, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that all of Scripture's been pointing to? Or are you someone like me? Are you a prophet? Are you just whoever? You know, should we be waiting for somebody else? And Jesus, being Jesus, does not send back a message saying, yes. I know we're not supposed to, but I find Jesus very frustrating sometimes. Just say yes. Just say yes. I am the Messiah. No, he says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. And then he goes through a list of things. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. And what he's talking about is he's saying, what you're seeing is the outward manifestation of the reality that God has talked about from the very beginning, that I am in control, that God is working out God's purposes and plan in the world, no matter what it might look like. And you're seeing it in a new way now. Because all through Scripture, one of the hallmarks of the Messiah is the relief of physical suffering, and Jesus is doing this. Somebody, a preacher I once heard, said that once John heard that, he was able to just move on and have a smile on his face when he ended it, when his life was ended because of Herod and his foolish oaths and promises. It was good enough for John that John was no longer in despair, if he was before, but he was reminded again that what's going to happen is what's supposed to happen. And that's when joy comes. C.S. Lewis describes joy as, it's like a signpost. It's like when you're out on a walk, and C.S. Lewis walked everywhere, as far as I can tell. He did this for pleasure, all of that would go on these walking tours. And when you're walking, or for that matter, even when you're driving and you're not entirely sure where you are, when you see a signpost, you are happy because now you know for sure that you're going where you're going and where you're going actually exists. But your happiness doesn't change the fact that you're going where you're going. The signpost is a reminder that you are going where you're going. Joy is this underlying sense that we are going somewhere. The feelings of joy are the signpost. Because there are joyful feelings. We don't want to write those off. There are times in the midst of experience of life when you, at least I hope all of you have experienced something like this, this wellspring of, well, all you can describe it as is joy. It's not happiness. It's hard to describe. It seems to be different for everyone. But it comes out of nowhere. It's not triggered by anything obvious. It's this sense that life is moving forward, that good things are going to happen. People talk about having these in the midst of every experience imaginable, from the worst to the most mundane to the best. And it's a sign of joy. It's a reminder of what joy speaks to. Joy speaks to the underlying, fundamental, foundational, rock-bottom nature of what we believe. That Jesus came that we might know God in a way we couldn't before. We celebrate Advent as we get ready to celebrate the coming of Jesus, because with the coming of Jesus came the opportunity to have a relationship with God that just wasn't possible before. A relationship that gives meaning to what we do, that creates a connection with God and with His people in a way that nothing else could. It's a joyful time of year. It's a happy time of year too, I hope. But the joy is even more important. And the joy builds through Advent because it reminds us that Scripture is going somewhere and we're going somewhere with it. That we're not here just by accident, that we're not here just as a, well, it could have been anybody. No, there's something special about each of us. That each of us was placed on earth to go in particular directions, to accomplish particular things. That we have meaning, and that what we do has meaning. It can be a nihilist kind of world that we live in, one that says that meaning, well, you know, nothing means anything. Whatever's good for you is good for you. That's a very unsatisfying way to live your life. The reality of Scripture says that no, there's more to it than that. That we have fundamental meaning and essential meaning because of who God is and that Jesus came. And the joy that we have is knowing that. When we think of joy, keep the happiness part, of course, because that is important. It is a reminder of all of those other things that go into what make up joy. But let's never forget that joy is bigger than happiness. It encompasses happiness. It takes all those things into it. But it's joy that gives us the meaning. And that meaning is why Jesus came. Amen.